Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Wednesday, March 21st. We're glad you're tuned in and listening today over WSOF and WAJJ Radio. We're thankful for the privilege to make these broadcasts and send them out every Monday through Friday at this same time. I appreciate those of you that tune in and listen on a regular basis. Those of you that go to our website, I want to remind you that you can download our podcast as these recordings, these messages are recorded in podcast form, all but the music. We have to delete the music from that. But nonetheless, we have the preaching, the announcements, and the preaching is there available at your download at your convenience. Then you can listen to it also at your convenience. Hopefully, it'll be a blessing unto you. Amen. Well, we're going to get ready to go to the Lord in prayer. Do want to take this opportunity to invite you to come out and be with us tonight in our regular midweek prayer service. Looking forward to meeting together in the house of God. Looking forward to what the Lord might have in store for us. And hope you'd come and be part of our service tonight. We're at 1415 Island Ford Road. Service time will be at 7 p.m. We'd love to have you with us at that time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you and thank you for your goodness, grace, and mercy in our life. Thank you for the beautiful day you've given us. Sunshine brightly today, more like a spring day, although it's been cool. Thank you, Lord, for the snow we had yesterday and last night. It's beautiful, and then letting it get gone today, that's a blessing to me. And I thank you, Lord, for your goodness. And Lord, I thank you for this Wednesday as we get ready for our service here in the house of God. We always need your presence. And we ask you to do great and mighty things. Lord, I don't want it just to be just another service. I never want it to be just another social gathering. I want us to truly meet with the God of heaven and get our spiritual needs met. We are spiritual beings, and we have spiritual needs. And so I pray you'd meet those needs tonight in our service. Father, I pray you'd bring visitors in. And Lord, that you'd bring conviction to those that are unsaved. Lord, that you would encourage the saints. Help us, dear God, that we'd see our prayers answered and we'd be zealous for the things of God as well. Lord, I pray that you'd touch those that are sick in body and afflicted in body and having different problems. Brother Herford had the shots, the cortisone shots in his hip yesterday. And I understand he's doing better today. We're grateful for that. And then he has that cataract surgery tomorrow. I pray that you'd be with him through that. And Lord, that you would just meet and help the need. I do pray for Miss Shauna Gray's mother, Frances Williamson. Lord, I pray you'd touch her and help her in these days and those around that are trying to help meet their needs as well. Lord, I ask you that you would touch others here in the church that have problems, sicknesses, and afflictions. I pray for Mrs. Bell as she's battling now, trying to get some more answers as they have diagnosed her there with these problems. And I pray, Lord, you'd intervene and help with those as well. Now, Lord, I pray use the broadcast. I pray speak through us. Help us say something that would be a blessing to somebody, something that might sow a good seed in some good soul this evening. And, Lord, thy will be done. We'll thank you for it. We ask it in Jesus' lovely and precious name. Amen. In our Bible reading for this week, we're going to be in Job chapter number 1, verse number 8. Just reading the first part of that sentence. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? I've been preaching a series that I've entitled Considering Job. We have looked at several cases and several instances in the life of Job. We looked at Job's warfare, we looked at Job's wounding, and we looked at Job's witness and Job's waiting. In Job chapter number 1, verse 22, the Bible says, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And just last week finished up looking at Job's waiting. Now we're going to look at Job's wondering. Look at chapter number 3, Job chapter 3 and verse 23. Now let me say, as you're finding your place there, that Job's three friends came to comfort him. We've looked at the affliction that happened to Job chapter 1, and then the second affliction that happened to Job more personally, more intimately in his flesh, in chapter number 2. At the end of chapter number 2, Job's three friends came to comfort him. But rather than comforting him, they found themselves there at the end of chapter 2, only staring blankly at him for 7 days and 7 nights without speaking a single word to him. It was as if their words of comfort had been stripped away from their vocabulary. Thus, Job began to speak for himself in chapter number 3. Now, there's a question that arises. He asks numerous questions. But in verse number 23, his mouth is filled with extreme bitterness and anguish. And he asks this question, why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God hath hedged in? I want to read that again because that's the theme we're going to be looking at this week. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God hath hedged in? And we've looked at this for a couple of days, and the first point being what preceded or what might have precipitated that question being asked. Why was the question asked? And I mentioned two primary points. I gave several different ones, but there's two primary things. First of all, he said, my way is hid. In other words, I don't understand why this has come upon me. Job could see no reason for his suffering. He was not suffering as a penalty for wrong that he had done, for he had done no wrong. Amen. And then secondly, not only did he say his way was hid, but he said God had hedged him in. In other words, not only could he not see any reason why he was there, but he also could see no way out. And friend, I'm convinced, I really believe that one of the greatest difficulties that we face in our mind is when we find ourselves in a situation that we can see no way out. I mean, it's distressing enough when you see no reason for the affliction, but then when you can see no reason and you can see no relief, no way out. Now, let's look at the question itself. He asked this question. He said, why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God hath hedged in? In other words, he was saying, why is the light of life given to him that is in such darkness of misery? Now, let me say a few things about this question. First of all, it is a very unsafe question for anyone to ask. Amen. I mean, and I've already alluded to it in other sermons on this series, that when we begin questioning God, when we begin quizzing God and asking why, and wherefore, these questions don't fit well coming from our lips because we're not the potter, we're the clay. Amen. He is the potter, we are the clay. The epistle to the Romans says this in Romans chapter 9, verse 20, the latter part of the verse, and then end of verse 21, said, shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hast not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Amen. Paul, the writer of the book of Romans, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, said that we need to remember that we're the clay. We're the clay. He's the potter, and he has the right to do as he pleases with the clay. Amen. God's eternal purposes are very great and deep, and we cannot fathom them. We cannot understand them or measure them. We utterly fail when we attempt to do so. Therefore, we need not call God into question. Amen. Charles Spurgeon said it this way. I thought it was very well. He said, divine sovereignty is an ocean without a bottom and without a shore. All we can do is set our sail and steer by the chart of the Word of God, which He has given us. And all the while, he said, believe, as the song says, here's what it says, even the hour that darkest seemeth, will his changeless goodness prove. From the mist his brightness streameth. God is wisdom. God is love. Friend, we need to remember that although we don't understand, we're not the one that has to understand. God is the one in control. Amen. Listen, we're traveling through life. The best thing to do is, as Spurgeon said, set our sail and steer by the Word of God and let God's providence blow us along the way that He has determined. Amen. Amen. Well, whenever I think about how wonderful the ways of God are, it makes me tremble. Amen. I mean, when I try to reason out the plan of God, it makes me realize God's not answering to me. And my own reason, my own trying to figure it out, seems to point more to an unbeliever than to a believer. John Milton, in writing that great parable, Paradise Lost, he describes the fallen spirits as sitting in little groups discussing predestination and the counsels of the eternal. Amen. He said these spirits, these angels, are trying to figure out how that God does what he does. Well, it's beyond angels, then, friend, it's beyond men. Amen. You know how the Apostle Paul answers the man that calls into question. As we read there in Romans chapter 9, verse 20, he said in the first part of verse 20, he said, "Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God?" We don't have a right to call God into question. Job received his answer when the Lord spoke to him out of the whirlwind. In Job chapter 38, verse 2, God said this, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge?" Amen. What God said to Job was not so much a vindication of the ways of providence, but a revelation of his marvelous and matchless power as the creator and the ruler of the universe. God was not necessarily defending himself. He didn't need to defend himself. He was just announcing and declaring his greatness. Amen. Men don't like to hear it. Amen. Because when God speaks, there's thunder in his voice. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, when the skeptic asks questions, he better get ready for God to thunder. Amen. God's thunder should overpower the skeptic's questions and should put him to silence. Amen. Now, as one of God's children, we may sit down in the shadow of a very dark cloud hanging over our head. But I want you to think about this, that above that cloud is our Heavenly Father. We should be content to be still in the presence of the Lord. We should be content to be still and know that he is God. Amen. Amen. Well, as Job did, at times Job sat in silence. He said, "I put my hand over my mouth." He was ashamed at the words that he had spoken. I'm sure as Isaiah, when he saw God high and lifted up, and he said, "Woe unto me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips." In other words, he said, "We've done said too much. We've done spoken foolishly enough. We'll be quiet." Friend, we ought to imitate him. Amen. Imitate him. Put our hand over our mouth. Confess our sinfulness. Stop asking God the why and the wherefore of the things that he does. Those are unsafe questions to ask. Secondly, I'm talking about this question. It's unsafe. Number two, it dishonors our God. In this question of Job, when he said, "Why does God even let me live?" there is really a reflection upon the wisdom of the Almighty. In other words, does he not know that he shouldn't let me live? That's the idea. As if he's going to instruct God. Amen. God has given the light of life to a man whose way is hidden. God has hedged him in, Job said. So he said, "Why did he do it?" Well, I think that's far too often a problem we have. We indulge our questionings of divine providence. Amen. I asked this before, and I'll say it again. Does God have to stand and answer to you or to I? Does he have to answer to you or me for what he does? Is he bound to give us an answer and a reason for why that he does what he does? Job's friend Elihu in Job chapter 33 said this, "God is greater than man." I say amen, Elihu. Elihu didn't get it right every time, but he got that right. God is greater than man. Why do you strive against God? God does not have to give an account of his matters to you or to I. Amen. Amen. Nobody is the equal to God. Amen. If you think you're the equal to God, go meet him in the field and try to speak to him there, and you'll find out that you're nothing but dust before God. You have no reason to ask God what and why and wherefore. Amen. But we ought to accept the Lord's will with absolute submission. After all, that's exactly how our Lord did, the Son of God himself. When he prayed in that great hour of agony, he said, "O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Friend, that's the safe thing. Bring honor to God. Don't dishonor God. Don't ask these unsafe questions. When we cavil, when we question, it's more like the devil speaking, as the devil does that. Amen. The devil is always trying to dispute the sovereignty of God. Therefore, my friend, don't question and diminish and disrespect the love of God and the dispensations of his kindness and his goodness unto us. Amen. One more thing I'll say before we close. We should be quite certain that there must be an answer to this question. There must be a good answer. An answer that is in harmony with the character of God. And I believe there is a good answer. Amen. There are men and women that are sitting in darkness of grief and sorrow. And God has a reason for it. Although we may not understand the reason, there must be a good reason. You know how I know that? Because God is good. Because everything God does is good. Just recently, I was thinking again, contemplating about the creation. And everything God made. You remember what he said? God made everything from nothing, and he looked at it. 6 days of his work, he looked at it, and he said, it was good. He said it was good on the first day, second. He said it every day. It was good. It was good. You know what? Everything God does is good. Amen. Now, here's the hard part for us to understand. Even when evil comes, God means it for good, and it can turn to our good, because that's the only thing that's in the character of God and in harmony with the character of God. God is good. Amen. Friend, those men and those women that are sitting in darkness of grief, those men and women that are surrounded by sorrow, and yet they're continued to allow to live, there is an answer, and that is God's boundless grace, God's infinite love. Amen. Now, we may not be capable of understanding that on this side, but one day, farther along, we'll know all about it. Farther along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine. We'll understand it better by and by. Amen. That's right. Well, can I say to you, there is much that God does that we don't understand. Even the great men, I mean men of modern times that think they've got so much education they could call God into question, I'm telling you, friend, they don't understand the ways of God. Amen. Well, I say there are some answers that God might give. He might be pleased to give it. There's some that we could never comprehend. In all our wit and wisdom, we could never understand the goodness and the grace of God. Amen. Well, I think it's wise sometimes to say, I don't understand it, but I'm going to trust. I don't understand it, neither do I wish to. I'll leave that to God. Amen. Brothers and sisters listening to me, let's quit trying to search out reasons for the trouble we're in. Let's not seek the why. Let's seek God in our trouble. Amen. Let's serve God in our trouble. Let's please God in our trouble. Be perfectly satisfied to accept our difficulties as they come and let God reason it out on his own. Our job is to bow our reason before God. I mean, your mind that's trying to figure it all out. Put your mind in submission to God and accept what he says. Amen. Even if you don't understand how all these things are happening. Well, we'll return to look at this again on tomorrow's broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying thank you for listening. And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.